up in goodness. Glory to God.
Woo!
Hallelujah. I'm glad he walked on that water. Oh, we ought to just get in this altar and get right with God. Yes, man. Come on. Come on. Come on, ladies. Let's obey God. Get right with God. Oh, we've got him. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Yes, ma'am.
I walked right beside you.
Yes, ma'am.
Say amen right there. Didn't he leave all of heaven? What more can we want? Lord have mercy. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. That's the verse I was going to read a while ago. Never did even get to it. Colossians chapter 3 this morning. I want you to stay with us now for the next few minutes. Be very brief here. And got some other things to talk about this morning. And you're welcome to stay for the activities for the bus kids. July the 4th, 5th, 6th, what is this, 8th? 7th? July the 7th. Yeah, camp's tomorrow the 8th, that's what I was thinking. July the 7th, and we had almost 170 on them buses this morning. Amen. And they said, kids won't come on the 4th of July. And the devil told you that. Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, about just being thankful for what we've got. We all got problems in our life this morning. Everybody in here could stand up and give us a sob story. I could, you could. Well, this is wrong. I can't pay my bills. Lost my job. All that. But the truth is, overall this morning, we all are extremely blessed. I mean, amazing how good God's been to us. You live in this country. Just tab, brother. You live in this country this morning. You are in the top 6% of the richest people on earth. If you live in this country, the top 94% of the people in the world are worse off than you are. So the truth is this morning, God has been very, very good to us. I look around this morning, I see families, seeing them, these little babies. I see, it's just so good to see them all in here this morning. And I want to put duct tape on their mouth sometime, but it is a blessing just to see them here and hear them and see them smile and know that we have the freedom to come to church. I see all y'all that are visiting with us this morning. I see people here this morning I don't even know. It's Carolyn and Patty back there. I just lost their mom, Hazel. And I thought about how Hazel loved our church. And I thought about Linda Houck and how she loved our church. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And how good God's been to all of us. I'm telling you what, this morning, Brother Danny has no complaints. I have no complaints. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. I wouldn't trade places with nobody in the world. I've got my problems. I do have my burdens. I have my battles. But God has been good to me. Lord have mercy. The Lord has been good to me. I'm telling you, I can stand here and brag all day. I want to talk about it just a minute this morning. I want to talk about just being a Christian. Just being a Christian. Do you know what a Christian is? A Christian is somebody who is trusting Jesus Christ and His righteousness to take our sins away and take us to heaven when we die. That's what a Christian is. I want to show you what a Christian is. You see, I'm going to put my weight on this table. My weight is on this table. I'm trusting this table to hold me up. If I thought that table would collapse, I wouldn't do that. I'm putting my weight on this table. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who's putting my soul on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You'd be surprised, people who think that a Christian is just somebody who goes to church. Now, you ask people, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Methodist. That's the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my life. What if I come up this morning and I said, hey man, are you married? And he said, I'm Presbyterian. What a stupid question. You think somebody like that, you need to be in the nut house or you can't hear? It's got nothing to do with it. You know, what if I said, are you married? And you said, I live the best I can. It's got nothing to do with it. When a person says, are you a Christian? It ain't got nothing to do with the life you live. It's got nothing to do with the denomination you go to. We went at the trailer park yesterday. We was knocking on the doors, me and old Ben over there. And man, we had a time, didn't we, Ben? We had a time. And boy, we was knocking on trailer doors. And I met this people and said, one woman said, well, I'm not Baptist. And I thought, well, so what? And this woman said, I'm Catholic. And I thought, well, so what? I mean, listen, brother, going to church don't make you a Christian. I mean, you can sit in the garage, that don't make you a car. I mean, you can sit in a bakery and that don't make you a donut. You'll look like one pretty soon, but you ain't that. You go to church and that don't make you a Christian. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a Christian is somebody who is leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I'm leaning. When I die, if I die, and I hope the Lord comes, but if I die, my last dying thought and breath is going to be, I can tell you right now what's going to be, Lord, I'm leaning everything I've got on what You did for me on that cross, and I'm coming home through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that'll get you in, brother. That will get you in. That is the ticket. That is the ticket. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a Christian this morning. Amen. I went down to church that night. When I got saved, I went down a sinner. I come up a saint. I went down lost. I come up saved. I went down with no hope. I got up with a blessed hope. I got down poor. I went up rich. I went down sad. I got up happy. I went down with a bad past. I got up with a spotless future. I went down lonely. I got up with a friend and stick closer than a brother. I cashed in, brother. I've done it right. I made things right. When you got saved, you did the smartest thing you could ever do in your life. Thank God this morning we're Christians. There's a difference between being a Christian and a Muslim. There's a difference in being a Christian and a Buddhist. There's a difference in being a Christian. All those religions are do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, and you might get to go. Ours isn't a religion of do's. Ours is a religion of done. It is done. It is done. The old account was settled long ago. And my record's clear today. For He washed my sins away. And the old account, I'm telling you what, buddy, I'm happy in my soul. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. I've seen ups and I've seen downs. But thank God through it all, the Lord's been right there, been by my side, and He's still with me today. Hallelujah.
I'm glad to say I'm a Christian this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I know Him. I like to hear them sing, I know Him. Yes, I know Him. Yes, I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I know Him. I'm glad I'm a Christian this morning. Second thing I want to say this morning, we ought to be thankful for our family. We ought to be thankful for our family. Lord, my girls are all sitting here this morning in church. All of them saved. I mean, a family saved. Kids is here this morning. How thankful we ought to be. If your family is saved, how thankful you ought to be. If you even have a family, how thankful you ought to be. You know, there's drunks and drug addicts in New York City that died last night. And the city comes by and picks them up. And nobody knows who they are. And they don't have one relative. And they don't have nobody, and the state sends them off and cremates them, and nobody even knows where they lived or died, and die and go to hell. Buddy, you think you've got a family. You say, well, I've been through some hard times, but you've at least got some family. You've at least got somebody that cares about you. Amen. You're a rich person. If they're all saved, you're really rich. Amen. You're really, 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 really rich. Ladies and gentlemen, and the devil, that's why the devil's trying to bust up your home. That's why the devil wants you to get a divorce. That's why the devil wants your kids to rebel. He wants to bust up that family unit so he can get in your house. He wants to get in your house. That devil will try to get in your house. The devil will cause you to fuss and fight. When I marriage counsel people, and they come in there and they say, we want to get married, we want to get married. And they're like this, their arms around each other, and they're just like this, and we want to get married. And I said, they can't keep their hands off each other. And I tell them this, I say, you remember, the same devil that pushes you together before you're married is going to push you apart after you're married. Right? The devil wants you like all like that before you get married because it's wrong. And then the devil wants you apart after you get married. The devil's trying to get in your house. I told him Wednesday night. The other day, I went to the post office to mail my radio programs and to the Nebo Mall and to get a few things. We just got a mall built in Nebo. It's called Dollar General, but it's the Nebo Mall, closest mall to where we live. Actually, the real mall is 35 miles, 38. But anyway, I went to Nebo Mall and I went to the post office and I come back home. It's about 12 o'clock during the day. One day when the sun was miraculously shining for a few minutes there, about, I think it was Wednesday. And I come around my house, remember my carport like I always do. Walked around like that, got ready to step in the back door. And there was a copperhead that long. Fat laying at my back door. And he had his head up like this. I got a step like this going in the back door. Had his head up on that step. I'm telling you, I come around there. I was going there like that. And I was saying, like that. My heart jumped. And I thought, because I come in there all the time and it's pitch dark. And I just walked in. The other night, I was over here fooling around, reaching up under the car, and it's dark out there. And I thought about that. I seen that thing, and I just went like this around the car. And over here, I keep my tools in the corner and I pull the hoe out like that. And I come around here with that hoe and I thought, he's still here. He's still here. I'm going to get him. If he's still here, I'm going to get him. He was trying to get in my house. If I'd have opened that door, he would have got in my house. You listening? The only reason he wasn't in my house is the door was shut. And brother, listen, and you know what? The bad thing about it was, about two nights before that, I'd come home and had a bunch of stuff, and I'd carrying in stuff the house like that, and I left that door open because I was going back out to the car and forgot. And went upstairs and watched TV and watched the news and eat ice cream. About 2 hours later, I thought, well, I'll go downstairs and turn all the lights out. There was a door standing wide open. So his brother might be in my house right now. One thing for sure, where there's one copperhead, you promise you there's another one. They say, you know, and it was fat. And she, whatever it was, I took that thing like that, and I said, I hate to do it. These animal lovers would have got mad at me. They'd say, that copperhead has a right to live. You should take it out and release it into the wild. No, listen. When the copperhead's on my carport, it loses its rights. Ain't that right? It has no rights. Capital punishment. Listen, it says, your rights end where my carport begins. And so I took that thing and I go like that and I go, wham!
And I hit that thing, boy, and it started doing like this, going across there, and I couldn't like that, and I hit it again, and I got it about halfway through here and cut it half in two, and blood was all over the place, and I just grabbed it and slung it out in the grass. And so I went out there and put that, and its head was going like that, trying to strike me. I was like, come on, come on, you can't hurt me. I put that hoe down there in its face like that, and I laid it out there in the well, and brother, there it laid, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, if that door had been open that much, if that door had been open that much, that thing could have gotten my house. That thing would have gotten my house. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me? We ought to keep the doors shut. You better keep the doors shut. Yeah. You know what? You leave the door open through the internet, through dirty movies, through the rock music. The devil get in your house.
What?
The devil, you are leaving the door open. The only thing that kept that snake out, the door was shut. Some of you better shut the door or your kids, or the devil's going to get them. Listen, they tried to crawl in my house when my girls was there. One call one time. I met a guy on visitation named Snake yesterday. I thought, this was Snake. Somebody called one time and said, Corey there. Listen, you retard. You don't call my house. You know what I said? Who is this? How about let's try this again? Hang up, dial back. Mr. Castle, is your daughter or brother Danny? Is Corey there? And it wasn't him. It wasn't. Matter of fact, it was after y'all had been dating several months. This guy called. I said, who is this? He said, and told me his name. I said, you got a job? I did. That's exactly what I said.
Man.
What makes us think we can just leave a door open and let snakes crawl in our house? What makes us think we can just leave the door? Listen, brother, there's people that keep their dogs locked up so that they won't breed with a dog down the road and let their kids out at the mall and the movies and let them go anywhere they want to and say, well, they got to make their own. Won't you let your dog make its own decisions? That wasn't in the message. I just throwed that in there for free. I ain't like that. Amen. Brother, we better keep the door shut on our homes and our families. Amen? Listen, you that have been saved, you better keep the door shut to that old friend that comes back by your house. That drug dealer, shut the door. You say, we're friends and we still want to hang out. You can't hang out with the drug dealers. You can't hang out with them. You're leaving the door open and the snake will come in your house. You can't hang. You say, well, I used to date this guy, you know, and we was living in sin, but still, once in a while, we still talk. No. That's like me saying, now, I'm going to leave the door open, little copperhead. Now, I don't really want you to come in my house and bite me, but, we can be friends, can't we? No, we can't. No, we can't. You can't be friends with a drug dealer. You can't be friends with a partier. You can't be friends with a hunky dog. You can't be friends with the people that go. You say, well, they're my friends. I know they party and they go to clubs. And they're like, you're letting a snake in your house. You turn that internet on, and they got this chit-chat rat where you can see each other, and next thing you know, you're kissing over the home, seeing each other, and next thing you know, you're taking your clothes off and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, you're letting a snake in the house, and every mama and daddy here this morning better monitor and know what your kids are doing. And you ought to thank God for home and kill the devil and get him out of there. Ain't one thing you can do to a snake. Kill it. Can't make friends with it. You can't rationalize with it. You kill it. Say amen right there. Next thing is we ought to thank God for our church. We ought to thank God for our church where we can hear and learn the truth. I'm glad that I came to church. I'm glad that I came to church and learned the truth. I'm glad that we can teach our children. You know, like what I said there a minute ago, the world would disagree with that. The world says you should let your children grow up and make their own decisions. They don't even think you should say yes or no. Some Dr. Phil, Dr. So-and-so, some of that stuff they say is good. They're smart people. Some of it's good. But when it's against the Bible, it's of the devil. And if you're not careful, it'll pollute your thinking. Now all you want to do is stand up for yourself then. And yourself, all you think about is self, self, self. And you know what? These people said the other day, they said, now, you shouldn't tell a child yes or no. They said, we've learned in psychology, you don't say, go to bed. That's too authoritative. You shouldn't say, time for you to go to bed. You should word it differently. As a matter of fact, you don't even supposed to say yes or no more. That's too extreme. Half of y'all in here do this. You get this from Hollywood and from their demonic spirit. You ask me, Danny, did you have a good week this week? I say, I did. People can't even say yes no more. Did you have a good week? I did. What does that mean? Yes. Did you bring your money this morning? I did not. No. That's what people used to say. Have you noticed now that you're not even supposed to say yes or no? It's out of style. So you say, kid, here's the way you get your kids to go to bed. Honey, would you rather take your teddy bear or your furry rabbit to bed tonight? And leave it up to them. That's the way you get your kids to go to bed. Darling, would you rather take your teddy bear? Or you're psychologically trying to trick them into making their own decision to go to bed. So the woman says, darling, would you rather take your teddy bear or your furry rabbit to bed tonight? And the next day they said, now y'all can't go outside after supper. You can't go outside and play, you know, stuff like that. So the kid comes up and said, mother, should I go out the back door or the front door when I go out to the yard to play? Psychology junk works both ways. Amen? I'm glad I go to church where I can hear the truth. Where the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The best way to raise children is the Bible way. You will never improve on raising children any other way than what this book right here teaches. This book tells you how to raise children. The book says nothing about time out. The book says nothing about make them stick their nose in a corner. The book says nothing about making them not watch your favorite TV programs. The book said the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. That's Bible preaching. That's our theme here at this church. And if you don't like it, you don't like the Bible. Don't get mad at me, brother. I didn't write it. I just preached to it. And the Bible definition of discipline is a hickory switch. That don't mean you're supposed to use it all the time for everything. There are other means. That don't mean you have to discipline that way every time. There's lots of other things you can do. But there is nothing wrong with a hickory switch, an old-fashioned Bible discipline. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Have you noticed that? Little kids just say, no, 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 ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna do it. Boy, I'm telling you what, if I'd have told my daddy, ain't gonna do it, them three teeth right there wouldn't even be there. He was from West Virginia and didn't even know how to Bible discipline. But he knows you don't talk to your daddy like that. Carrie said it the other day. She said it right. You know what's wrong with this generation now? They have no respect. They don't know what the meaning of respect means. They don't respect God's house. They don't respect the police. They don't respect the school teacher, the pastor. No respect. Don't even know the meaning of the word respect. We need some good preaching and teaching. And that's where you get it. In a Bible-believing church like what we got right here. Say amen right there. I'm glad I go to church. I'm glad I got Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm proud of our church. I thank God for our church. Our church talks face to face with more people than any other ministry in this county every week. I guarantee it. Thank God for it. You say, you bragging on the church? Yes, I am. We ought to brag on where our church is doing good for the glory of God. Amen. Visited hundreds of homes just yesterday. Spending thousands of dollars every year. Thank God we've got a church. And you don't have to try to figure out what we are. We are a Baptist church. Our heritage goes back to the Waldensians and Albigensians. We are not Presbyterian. We are not Methodist. We are not a no-name brand. We are not Pentecost. We are Baptist. And the reason you don't know the difference, you have not studied church history and done your homework. We're not Protestant. We're Baptist. Baptists never did protest. See, the Lutheran church, Martin Luther, protested the Catholic Church. The Presbyterian Church from John Calvin protested the Catholic Church. Episcopalian Church, the Methodist Church from John Wesley protested the Catholic Church. That's why Methodists and Presbyterian and them still have weird stuff in them that look like Catholic churches. Statues and candles and weird kind of windows and stuff like that. Baptists were never Catholics. We never were in the Catholic Church. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. There's a stream of Bible-believing Christians that goes all the way back to the apostles, of which we are a part of. And I'm glad and proud to be a part of Shining Light Baptist Church on our anniversary. Now, here's what they tell you now. Here's what they tell you. They say, you shouldn't be Baptist because them crazy people up there is Baptist, them Westboro people, so we shouldn't be Baptist. But you see, if you drop your label, I'd hate to go in the store and there was no labels on nothing. If there's no labels, I want a can of noodle soup. All right. It might be motor oil. You don't know what it is. If it don't say it on there, you don't know what it is. It might be dog food. See, you got to be something. You got to be something. You can't just be nothing. You've got to be something. And the Baptist faith has gone back to the fathers of the last thousands of years, and the Waldensians and Albigensians, right on back to the days of the apostles, and never be ashamed of that label. You say, well, there's so many Baptists that are crazy, it gives them a bad name. Okay, then Judas Iscariot gave the apostles a bad name. He was a dud. He was a loser. Should they have said, well, we're not going to be Christian because Judas gave us a bad name? No! Just because there's some idiots that are called Baptists ain't going to stop me from being one. Just because there's some crazy people claim... Listen, Hitler claimed to be a Christian and was never excommunicated by the Catholic Church. All them Charlemagne, Bloody Mary, every one of them claimed to be Christians. I mean, brother, I'm not going to disown the Bible just because they're some crazy people. I'm glad to be a Christian, and I'm glad to be a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, independent Baptist church that preaches the King James Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Tell you some good things about our church. Just a second, I'm through. We'll talk about our country just a second. I got a phone call from a lawyer in way downstate. He said, is this Danny Castle? I said, sure is. He said, this so-and-so, so-and-so, we're from such-and-such law firm. I went, oh, God, Lord, please. He said, I've been listening to you on the radio every week, and I love it. He said, where's your church at? I went, whew. And I told him the directions over in the old building. Two brothers as lawyers. And he came and met him and brought a sizable amount of money and wrote a check and put it in the offering plate. And I went down and wrote something around his brother. They were in law together. And he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know why I started listening to you on the radio? I said, no, I'd like to know that. I'd be interested in knowing that. These guys are educated, man. Listen to me every week, every Sunday, because I was on Big Waggy on the radio. He said, I heard you on the radio by accident one day, and I thought, that guy knows what he's talking about. And he said, you know what got me? He said, at the end of the program, you didn't ask for money. And he said, I'm going to listen to him next week. And he said, he listened to the program the next week, and he said, again, you didn't ask for money. He said, I'm going to listen to him again next week. I know how them preachers are. All they are interested in. He said, I listened to you for four straight Sundays and you never said a word about send me money, send me money, send me money. And he said, I'm going to give that guy some money. Yeah. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? I never have understood why a man would have a 15-minute program and pay for 13 minutes asking for money and then sing a song and preach 2 minutes and beg for money to pay for them 2 minutes of preaching. That's a weird thing to me. Amen? Let me say this. We get emails from all over the world. Australia, other countries. All the time. I got some the other day. I don't even know who puts this stuff on the internet. You put in Bible preaching or oldtimepreaching.com and somebody's got hundreds of sermons. of Jack Hiles and me and Buck. I don't know how. I don't even know how. Who done it? I don't even know how to put. I wouldn't know how to put a sermon on there if I wanted to. How'd that get on there? I have no idea. It's that shining light, shining out there, and we get requests for stuff all the time. We ought to thank God for our church. This little light is shining around this world. I want to say in closing this morning, I want to thank God for my country, for my independence. There's no forced religion. I was in Germany. In Germany, where they drink beer like it's water. Because water ain't fit to drink. And everybody's about drunk all the time. You say, that sounds pretty good to me. That's probably about your speed. Listen, that's a miserable, wicked place. I was in Haiti. And I went down there with these missionaries. And it's absolute chaos. You know what the national religion in Haiti is? Witchcraft and Catholicism combined. Voodoo. It's voodoo. Just like the Rolling Stones sing about. Voodoo Lounge. Voodoo and Catholicism combined. And these people sitting out on the side of the road with sheets over their head in a trance, like in a coma, demon possessed. And there's no red lights and signs. I mean, it's just chaos. You go down the street just driving between people and chickens flying around up in the air and everybody's screaming and hollering. We had a wreck. The guy didn't know how to drive. We was in his car. He borrowed a car from somebody. And me and a guy from Marion was in the car with him. And I sat in the back seat and I said, this fool's going to kill us. He was driving fast in between cars. And I thought, there's no stop sign. There's no speed limit. There's no this side of the road, that side of the road. I mean, I wish there wasn't no speed limits here. But at least stay on one side of the road. And you know what? I told him, I said, he's going to get us killed, man. Sure enough, in a few minutes, we was coming flying down the road like that, and I saw another car coming. I said, look out. As Paige gave my punch, he said, you better look out, brother. And I was down, I put my head down like that, and we crashed into that car. I mean, head on. And I was swinging, I was done like this, so I didn't get hurt. I jumped out, and that guy was laying there bleeding, and there was glass and blood splattered everywhere. And immediately there's about 300 people just gather around. And I thought, what in the world are we going to do? You can't call cops. You can't call. And they, if you ever been to Gatlinburg, you seen these trolleys that you ride? It's like a little, looks like a little covered wagon about that long. It's open, ain't got no sides in it. That's an ambulance. And that thing showed up and they just laid them. They put all of us in that ambulance. I felt so sorry for that guy. Throwed out his back. Their hospital, honest to goodness, looked like a barn where you'd keep cows. And they didn't have no way to take care of that fellow. And then they started talking about, after they found out we was from America, and they was talking about these Americans were involved, so they might have caused this wreck, and we're going to detain them here. And our flight was supposed to go out the next day. Coming home, I said, you ain't going to detain us. I said, buddy, we're going to get on that airplane. And they was talking about trying to keep us there. You don't know what you've got here in America living underneath that flag and our Constitution till you're out in some other country where they can just do whatever they want to with you. They can put you in jail. They don't even have to have a reason. Just don't like your looks. They thought we was rich. Man, when we got on that airplane, I sat down and I said, thank God, get this thing off of the ground, Lord. I'm going to do like them boys in the army. I'm going to kiss the ground when we hit Charlotte. We ought to thank God for our country this morning. There's a lot of places a lot worse off than this. On our anniversary this morning, you ought to thank God for your family. You ought to thank God for your church. You ought to thank God for His blessings on your life. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you've been backslid, come on, Miss Sue, play something real softly. We're going to do something else. You've been backslid, you ought to get out of your seat and make your life right with God and say, Lord, I'm going to get back in there. You've been good to me, Lord. I'm going to get back.